we are thrilled to be joined by Blue Jays closer Casey Jansen, who this year saved 25 games and since taking over for Francisco Cordero in Oakland in May of 2012, Casey has racked up 81 saves in 2 2/3 seasons. He's compiled a whip under one at a .994, an ERA at .294, and has been, without question, one of the best relief pitchers, best closers in the major leagues. Casey, thanks so much for taking some time out of your Friday evening to spend some time with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
It's a pleasure. I'm doing great. How's your off season going?
No complaints so far. I've been pretty busy here in California trying to catch up the planning on my wedding, but the sun is out, and it's nice to be home.
Yeah, the sun is out. Thanks a lot for that. We appreciate that here. Although it was a lovely last couple of days up here in Toronto, a little bit cooler, I'm sure, than in Southern California. I mean, you haven't gotten to the nuts and bolts yet because the World Series, the playoffs are still going on. But is it going to be how much of a weirder off season is it going to be for you as you, I don't want to say look for a job because I'm assuming people are going to be coming to you, but as you're out there on the market as a free agent?
A little different. I'm in a position of gracefulness. I've never done this before, and I'm looking forward to it. I have no other choice but to look forward to it. And this will be the one time in my career that I guess I'll get to see how the game of baseball and other GMs and other teams out there value my talent.
And it's got to be kind of exciting to prepare to be wooed. Does it kind of take you back to, like, how hard did UCLA recruit you back in the day?
I wasn't very good coming out of high school. I didn't get recruited very hard out of high school, and you know, being a fourth round draft pick was amazing for me. But then again, you know, I spent my last 10 years in the Toronto Blue Jays organization, so that's all I've really known. And, you know, it was a great 10 years. And, you know, I'm not counting out the fact that it might continue.
Yeah, and I think we're all certainly hoping that it will. I mean, you've been a great Blue Jay. You've been here, like you said, for a very long time. You and Adam Lind are, well, Dustin McGowan is the longest-serving active Blue Jay, and he may well be a free agent too. So all three of you, Lind with an option, McGowan with an option, and you as a free agent. But it feels like you've been around the longest because other than 2008, you've really been a constant as far as the Blue Jays are concerned. And I remember it must have been 07 talking to you. And I definitely remember 08 watching you throw on the side in the bullpen at the Bobby Maddox complex and watching you walk off the mound and thinking, crap, something terrible's happened to Casey Jansen. But I remember in 07 talking to you before spring training and kind of going over what I'd heard about who's going to make the team and who isn't, when you were always that guy on the bubble waiting to find out if you were coming north with the team.
Yeah, you know, 2008 was probably my saddest moment of my baseball career. You know, my dad raised me never to say I can't or those type of words, and that was the first time I'd ever said to anybody that, you know, I can't do it. And I remember when you were just saying it, I got the chills thinking about it. I was warming up for an outing, and I knew my arm was killing me, and it was the first time I just had to say something and said, hey, look, I can't do this anymore. And it was a tough moment for me, but it definitely got stronger mentally from it. And looking back now, that was just a little minor speed bump in my career.
Which we're all thrilled it turned out to be that way. And as I've said many times, it's very difficult to find a relief pitcher who's consistently good year in and year out. I mean, there are so few, even the capital C closers of the world. you'll only find three or four guys who can really be depended on to be the same guy every year. You're one of them. Every year that you've been healthy, 07 and then 2011 on, once you finally got over all the shoulder stuff, you've had not just a good year, but a spectacular year. And it speaks so highly of what you can do. And you know, I know you're not going to beat your own, thump your own chest too much, but the truth of the matter is what you have been able to do is something that really not a lot of relief pitchers have been able to do. And that's been be very, very good year in and year out. It seems like it's something that's so hard for relief pitchers to be able to manage.
You know, it's tough being a reliever from the standpoint that that one lopsided outing that you give up four or five can skew your season, so to speak. And to bring your ERA back down to something respectable after an outing or two of those like that, it can be really difficult, and I think that's where the reliever market becomes a little bit of a roller coaster. But, yeah, I've always prided myself on being able to have the manager or the team trust me and have the trust of your teammates, most importantly, where, you know, they know when I'm coming out on the mound that, one, I'm going to get through this inning, and two, more times than not, it's going to come in our way and in our favor. So, you know, I just try to continue to do that, throw strikes and let my defense work.
And not to cast aspersions on a man who has two wins this postseason for the Kansas City Royals, but when you come out, it's also going to be done quick, unlike a guy you shared a bullpen with for a lot of years. We love Jason Fraser, but the difference between you and him just in pace is unbelievable.
Yeah, I love Fraser. Fraser was one of my favorite teammates that I've had. Awesome person, and excited for him and the opportunity he's getting. But yeah, he definitely works a different way. He's definitely either trying to lull the hitter to sleep a little bit and then just sneak that sneaky fastball right by him.
Yeah, no question. And him and Scott Downs, who's there but not on the roster, Eric Kratz, who was a member of the Blue Jays organization for a long time and then back here for two-thirds of this season, and Don Wakamatsu as well. How thrilled are you for those guys in the World Series?
Very thrilled for them. You know, like you said, I've been with Kratz for a long time now, having gone back probably to an A-ball team, I think. So in, I think, 05. So I've known Kratz for a while, and then I've had great relationship with both Fraser and Scott Downs pitching in the bullpen. Downs took me under his wing in 07 and kind of showed me the ropes, showed me how to be a professional in the bullpen. And I joke, but I say that Jason Fraser is the absolute ultimate pro. So I couldn't have learned from two better guys, and I wish those guys nothing but the best.
Yeah, you and Downs and Jeremy Accardo were really a three-headed monster at the back of the bullpen back there in 2007 after B.J. Ryan got hurt. I want to get to the calls in a second, but I got one more question for you. Just in the wake of today's news about Joe Maddon opting out of his contract with the Tampa Bay Rays and being available on the market, the Blue Jays have already said they're happy with their manager and they're not looking to make a change there. But the question was posed, if somebody does go out there and sign Joe Maddon to be their manager, does that make a difference to a potential free agent? Is he going to be likelier to go somewhere if a particular manager is there? What do you think about that?
That's a tough question. I think if you have a relationship with a manager, you might be more inclined to go a certain direction. But I think, you know, being a free agent for the first time, I think you look at the full body of work and the organization as a whole, top to bottom. If you're going to be there for more than, you know, a year or two, you want to know how the minor league system is coming up and you know, potential help on the way. You want to know what the roster is like. And then, of course, what the manager, coaching staff, and front office is like, along with your teammates and the kind of character that the players bring. So I think it's a full combination. I don't think Joe Maddon is going to have trouble finding a job if he wants one. I think he's a heck of a manager. And, you know, I guess AL East fans should be glad that he's potentially getting out of the AL East.
Yeah, I think they really are. Tampa Bay is reeling right now. No David Price, no Andrew Friedman, no Joe Maddon. It's going to be very, very, very different. There are a lot of people lined up to talk to you, Casey, and I want to get to them. It is a Blue Jay A Day pregame show. Game 3 of the World Series getting set to go, and the first pitch is 45 minutes away. It'll be Tim Hudson against Jeremy Guthrie. A couple of lines are open. You know the numbers if you want to call and talk to Casey Jansen. Let's start with Steve in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Steve, say hello to Casey Jansen.
Good evening, gentlemen. Mike, Casey, I can't thank you over the years. You're like mint when you come out there. I thank you very much for everything you've done for us. My question
thank you
is,
very much.
When you're in the bullpen, do you help the younger guys? You're just talking about how you got help in your career. What do you do with the younger guys, if you do, and what kind of how do you help them, like with the Sanchez's and the younger kids? And my other part is, I know you're up for free agency. We love you in this city, and congratulations on your wedding coming up. And just thank you for everything you've done for as a fan. I thank you very much for everything. All the best, my man.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. First off, I think I do try to help as best I can. I was helped as a player, and I think it was important to having been there for as long as I have to give the knowledge that I've received. Anywhere from how to attack a hitter to how to keep your arm maintenance going and when to take a lighter day off and playing catch or when to long toss. Routine, I'm a big routine person, so when you're warming up to have a routine, you're throwing X amount of fastballs, X amount of curveballs. And once you're ready, you're ready and stop throwing. It's kind of save your bullet type of mentality. Anything from attacking a hitter to kind of dissecting the pitcher themselves, the person that I'm talking to, and helping them understand their strengths and weaknesses and when to attack with their strengths. And sometimes one of the best advices I got from BJ Ryan was, when you're behind in the count, sometimes is just to fight your battle another day and not give in. And, you know, maybe the guy gets a walk and then you'll just kind of look at him and say, I'll see you tomorrow. So I do what I can.
A guy, Casey Jansen, who only walked 7 people this past season. That doesn't look right, actually. Hold on. Yeah, 7 walks this past season for Casey Jansen in 45 and two-thirds innings. That's pretty strong. And when you talk about BJ, that kind of brings up something that I was going to ask you about in regards to Steve's question, because you and BJ Ryan are not similar pitchers at all. I mean, neither of you have the big, giant, huge fastball, and you both rely on control, but he had that wacky, deceptive delivery, and he was a huge guy from the left side. So you talk about all the things that you can relate to the younger players. Does that make it easy to be able to talk to someone like, say, Aaron Loop, who has a completely different style than you, or Aaron Sanchez, who does have that big giant arm?
Yeah, I'm not going to necessarily tell Aaron Loop the grip on his slider or how to throw somewhat sidearm or something like that. But I can tell him that I throw 89 to 91 and I attack hitters and I don't walk hitters. And Aaron Loop does a great job as well, not walking. I think he had very minimal walks a couple years ago. And I guess I just try to practice what I preach as much as I can. And if I'm going out there attacking hitters, if it's Aaron Sanchez's, 97 mile an hour fastball, it plays. You don't need to walk hitters. And if my 89 plays, then his 97 to 100 absolutely will.
Yeah, Aaron Loop had 13 walks in 2013 and just 2 in his rookie season when he was up for 2 months in 2012. Casey Jansen is with us, and Brian in Saskatoon wants to say hello. Hello, Brian.
Hi.
Say hi to Casey Jansen.
Hi, Casey.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well. I have a couple questions for you. My first question is, who were some of the athletes you idolized growing up?
Give me the second one as well, Brian.
Okay. What is your fondest moment or fondest memory of being a Blue Jay?
Okay. The athletes I admired the most, I would probably say on the level of Magic Johnson being a Laker fan, Michael Jordan being the champion he was and unbelievable athlete he was. And, of course, now current, I'm a huge Kobe Bryant fan. Some of the most memorable moments that I have, probably first and foremost, was my Major League debut. You know, to be able to have my parents in the stands watching me after all the long days and mom driving me around to baseball practice all over the place and my dad coaching me for most of my career, it was just kind of a day almost for them where they could share that moment with me and that I finally made it. And on the flip side, one of my most special moments too was actually the last game, and what the crowd did for me was unbelievable, and I wasn't expecting it, and it was just a nice way, if it is the end, to thank them and for them to thank me.
It really was really nice at the middle of the ninth inning on there, that the last day of the season with the 1-0 game, where I think people thought maybe this is the last time. You know, Jimmy Key got the same ovation walking off the mound in Toronto in Game 3 of the World Series in 1992. He was going to be a free agent. We weren't sure whether he was going to be coming back or not. And they really let him know. And, you know, whether you come back or not, like you said, that's got to feel awesome. I want to ask now, because, I mean, you're a closer now and a great one, but when you look back on the fond memories, how much do those two starts against the Angels in your rookie year stand out?
Yeah, those were great starts as well. You know, I think I carried a no-hitter into the seventh maybe in one of them and pitched well. I was probably more nervous in those starts than any other ones because I knew all of my hometown family and friends were watching. But they worked out great and definitely great memories as well.
Absolutely. And in case fans out there don't remember, first month of Casey Jansen's career and your first major league win came in a start against the Angels at home. But over two starts in the course of 10 days, one here and one in Anaheim, you threw 15 and a third innings of 3-hit shutout with one walk.
Well, I do. I definitely noticed the fans. We love the fans. We wish every night could be a sellout. But definitely we have noticed more fans on the road. And like you said, kind of starting with that switch over into the blue unis. I don't know if it's just more visible or if they just came out in bigger numbers. But a couple places stick out to me. Of course, Detroit. We always get well supported well there. Seattle's ridiculous. It's like a home game for us. But even places, Boston. You know, you start to see a bunch of Blue Jay fans. I remember there was a couple rainy days in Minnesota. And all the Minnesota fans left, and I remember the Blue Jay fans stuck it out for us. So, yeah, we appreciate the fans. We love them, and it was great to see, that's for sure. And hopefully it keeps and continues to grow.
I've only been – I only traveled with you guys for the 1 year last year, but, yeah, Seattle completely blew me away, and I heard it was even better this year.
Yeah, it was insane. They come – I mean, we're getting standing ovations for BP. I remember Danny Valencia hit about 4 or 5 consecutive homers, and the place just oohed and aahed at every single one of them, and then he finished hitting, and they legitimately clapped for him. So, you know, it's just nice to be appreciated, and it definitely gets the players excited to play in front of them.
And next year, the Blue Jays actually do go to Seattle on a weekend, so very exciting goings-on there. Vince in Toronto, you're up next with Casey Jansen. Say hello.
Hey, Casey. Pleasure talking to you.
Thanks. How you doing?
My question is, did the comments you made after the trade deadline create any tension with you and Alex Anthopoulos or anybody in the dressing room for that matter? And if so, will that affect your decision to sign back in Toronto if an offer is made?
Before you answer that, let me just clarify for the people listening. Casey didn't go out and make comments after the deadline. He was asked a question, gave an answer. It wasn't like Casey and Jose Bautista called a news conference to say that the Blue Jays were disappointed at no additions at the deadline. But he was asked, and he answered. So based on that, go ahead now, Casey.
Yeah, I don't think anything has changed. I think Alex definitely respects me as a person, as his closer at the time, and I think that I echoed a lot of words that wanted to be said from inside the locker room. It didn't go our way the second half of the season. You know, it wasn't from a lack of effort from my standpoint or anyone else in that clubhouse. But no, I think it was just a matter of us being passionate, wanting to win. And Alex knows that, and there shouldn't be any issues going forward. I know that if I were a GM, I would definitely want someone who was as passionate and meant so much, the organization meant so much to them that they even chose that avenue to speak. So I think it's a non-issue and definitely some in the past.
All right, we move on up to Newmarket. Kevin, say hello to Casey Jansen.
Hey, Casey. Just wanted to say I'm a big fan. Love watching your pitch. You know, you're so intense and actually stand up, you know what I mean, when you're out on the mound watching the game. So it leads me to my question about your delivery. And, I mean, you either look like you're so focused and you know, gung-ho and can't wait to pitch the ball that you're in this constant motion, or you're intensely nervous, or a combination of both. I just wanted to know, when you developed that, or have you been doing that your whole life, or was that maybe superstitious, or when did you start, and what's the story behind it? Thanks.
Well, the story is, there is a story behind it. I've always been told as a starter, you know, you don't want to pace yourself, but you want to definitely be able to throw 100-plus pitches. And in the bullpen, it was just one of those things where, hey, I've got 15 bullets in the gun, and I'm just going to go use them all. And good, bad, or ugly, I'm going to try and get three outs before the other team scores. And another thing that BJ Ryan actually said to me that hit home with me was, he said, you want to be the boxer in the middle of the ring throwing the haymakers, and you want to take the fight to them. And I don't know why it turned into that, but it just became, hey, I'm going to take the fight to you. I'm going to keep going faster and faster, and you're not going to get a chance to take a swing, and literally and figuratively. So that's why I do it. I just want to keep pressing as hard as I can and try and get the hitter on their toes.
It's
or on their heels. I'm sorry.
Yeah, off their toes and on their heels.
Off their toes. Right.
When we talked about Jason Fraser a little bit earlier, and he told me that he has no idea how long he takes and he doesn't notice that his pace is so slow. Do you notice, are you aware of how, not that you're working fast because you just explained that, but just how fidgety you are out there and how much you move before you get into your delivery? Is that a conscious thing?
It is, and actually I think I started to get into a little bit of a habit, a bad habit in the second half of this year where I was probably pressing a little bit because I wasn't as successful as I would like to have been. And I just wanted to pitch great. I wanted to put up a zero with one pitch. And my intensity level got a little bit too much, and I definitely found myself where I needed to take a step back. There's also times where you almost get tired if you throw a bunch of pitches in a row where you definitely need to take a step back and gather your thoughts and then go right back to it. So, yeah, I definitely notice. And I don't know. It's just what it's become.
It's clearly very effective. Back to the phones, listening in Toronto on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Frank, you're on with Casey Jansen.
Good evening. morning, gentlemen. I am the father of a 10-year-old pitcher who has recently been selected to play in rep ball, which is basically an all-star league. So I was wondering if Mr. Jansen could go back in time a little bit and imagine as a young pitcher starting out, what would be the number one tip or most important baseball fundamental that you would stress to a young pitcher?
Well, I've got to give you a couple. First one I'd say is just to make sure you're having fun playing the game. Because if you don't have fun and it's kind of torture or something you don't enjoy, you're not going to make it very far anyway. From a pitcher standpoint, it's location. It's location, location, location. Keep hitting those spots and hold off on the curveballs as long as you can.
They don't want to ruin elbows. Absolutely. Jesse is in Vaughn. Jesse, you're next with Casey Jansen.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. When you come out of the bullpen, I get so excited that I get to watch you pitch. I want to ask you, what routes did you take to go to the Blue Big League, and when did you discover you can really pitch?
Well, I started off at my high school and got recruited to UCLA. I was a third baseman who knew how to pitch and didn't think I was good enough to make it to professional baseball, and just continued to try and continue to get better. And slowly pitching kind of took over from my career, and I ended up hanging up the cleats and the glove at third base, and continued to just pursue pitching. And it wasn't until my sophomore year that a few agents started to ask if they could represent me. And I thought to myself, why the heck would they want to do that? They're just kind of wasting their time. And from there, I ended up going through the draft process, got selected by the Blue Jays. And then I knew, hey, I've got a shot. I'm a professional, and let's see where this takes me and enjoy the ride.
And it really wasn't until then. I mean, there's got to be a moment, and I know that you're a modest guy, very obviously, but you are one of the 400 best pitchers in the world at this game. Was it really not until then where you thought, man, I might just be good enough to do this for a living?
Honestly, when I thought of Major League Baseball players, I don't know why, but even probably a little bit through high school, I thought that to get to the big leagues, you needed to be 7'3", 325 pounds with 0% body fat, and you threw 100. And it wasn't until I got to college and I actually saw that pitchers were my height, my weight, my size. It started to break down the game and realize that pitchers could pitch with a low 90s fastball and be successful. Pitchers, Mark Burley can throw 83 to 86 and be an all-star. So it started to click then. I still didn't know if I had what it takes just from a scout's perspective, but I embrace the underdog battle that it took, and wanted to prove people wrong.
And wound up doing a terrific job. Since you mentioned Mark Burley, I have to ask, I mean, this guy is a rock as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, and you know, borderline Hall of Famer, probably not going to get there because of the overall numbers, but the things that he's been able to do in the game, he's up at the top of that next tier. You also played with Roy Halladay for a few years, who is probably going to the Hall of Fame. I don't know that you could have two more different personalities in pitchers and leaders and whatever. Is there good and bad to be taken from both those guys and the way they went about their business? Because it's so different.
Yeah, I was going to say those guys were as completely different as they could be. Mark is a happy, fun-loving, very carefree. If he has a tough game, he's brushed it off by the time he leaves the stadium, and he's starting to think about his next start. Roy Halladay, I'm sure you guys have all have heard how probably one of the hardest workers in baseball, a great competitor, and you don't even want to look at him in the eyes on game day because he'll probably want to wring your neck or something. So, and then if it went bad, just clear a path for him because you're not getting in his way or he's going to run you over type of mentality. So baseball can be done many different ways, and I think that's what makes it great is there's many ways to skin a cat, and those are probably the two extremes.
As far as Doc is concerned, I honestly believe that on game day, when the reporters were in the room, he didn't even, I mean, it wasn't just that he was ignoring us. He actually did not know we were there. I mean, the tunnel vision was unbelievable with that guy. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, he was insane. Like I said, I definitely would stay out of his way on game day. And, you know, I think he was as focused as anybody leading up until every start.
Well, with Casey Jansen, we're just wrapping things up right now. We got time for one more. Mike is in Milton. Mike, say hello to Casey.
Hey, Casey. Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. Quick question for Casey. You know, as a California kid, did you prefer the California Angels, the LA Angels of Anaheim, or the LA Angels?
They're all the same to me. I think the LA part of it is kind of silly because they're not even in Los Angeles. But I'm definitely glad they got rid of the angel wings and the Disney stuff because that wasn't very cool to wear any angel memorabilia when it had wings and could fly. So I like what they got going now, just the traditional A and the red seem to stick.
Was that your team when you were growing up as far as baseball was concerned?
It was probably my team, the Angels. My dad loved the Dodgers, and so it was probably a fight for the remote every night, or depending on who the other team was playing, we would watch that game. So we watched both often. I probably went to more Angel games just because it was a little closer to the house. But if absolute bandwagon fan, if either one of them were in the playoffs, I was rooting for them, that was for sure.
So did that make it extra cool to have Troy Gloss as a teammate who was the World Series MVP for the Angels, or were you already too old by then?
No, it was cool. I definitely looked up to him. I know he was a shortstop that moved over to third base, and at UCLA I was a third baseman who knew how to pitch. And so he came out getting ready for spring training and would take some ground balls with us and kind of hang out, talk shop with us, which was kind of neat. And at the time he was probably one of the best third basemen in the game. So to learn from him and just to kind of see how it was and see what big leaguers did was definitely special.
All right. Well, Casey, we thank you so much for your time and appreciate you spending it with us. And, of course, for your time as a Blue Jay, we hope it continues. We understand if it doesn't. And hopefully, if it doesn't, we'll get to see you quite often in the future. It's just been such a pleasure dealing with you the last 10 years, working around you as opposed to working with you. But working around you, I can't tell you how much of a pleasure it's been. I have to tell you, as our tradition on the Blue Jay A Day pregame show, is that we look up a stat that you might not know about your year that you may enjoy. There are two I've got for you. The third hitter in a major league lineup is generally the best hitter in a major league lineup. And this year, when you faced the number three hitter, you held that number three hitter to an average of 83. You had your best numbers of any batting order position against the number three hitter in the order. And the other thing is they talk about how tough it is to get that third out and how, you know, innings can kind of blow up on you late after you get a couple of quick outs. When you faced a hitter with two outs this season, you held them to a .211 batting average with a .224 on base percentage and no home runs. So you were at your absolute most effective when a guy came to the plate with two outs. There's a couple of numbers that I'm hoping will put a little bit of a smile on your face.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's, you always get creative on me there, Mike.
I try.
But anyway, I thank the fans. They were tremendous over the years. If it continues, I can't wait to see you guys again. And, Mike, you've been great. Thank you for all that you have done as well. Wish you guys a happy winter. And if it is the end, Toronto will definitely hold a special place in my heart. And if not, then I'll see you guys soon.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Casey. Have a great winter. Enjoy the wedding and enjoy going out there and having people want you to come and play for them.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is. Blue Jays closer, free agent to be, Casey Jansen, and here is hoping.